evening is dedicated with a Mishnah, a Zelig Weisbard, a friend of all of ours, on the occasion of his first year at Sight. Before I begin, it's the schedule. I think we'll, at the conclusion of the Shir, we'll make a Siyam on Shas Mishnayis, followed by Mayrib, followed by the refreshments downstairs, Kavod HaSiyam. But being the occasion of the first yard site, I'll start with a couple, few minutes of the Akara, remembering him a little bit. The man was born in Lomża in Poland. He learned in the great yeshivas of Europe, in Baranovich, by Chonovastavin, Hashem Yikom Damo. He learned in, after that, in Kamenetz, by Baruch Ber, Baruch Berlibowitz. And certainly he was on his way, destined, following such a path, destined for greatness in Torah, before the world was turned upside down. And he miraculously was able to save himself by spending 6 years in Siberia. That's certainly not a pleasure trip, but through it, he was able to be saved. After that, he came to America, continued to be an Obed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come to Shul regularly. He was here well before anyone else was there in the morning, opening the door. I can't say what time, it was probably 5 o'clock in the morning. He was opening the door already. And the Gemara tells us, first thing he does so, even though man yirbu yimeichem al ha'adam, a person usually deserves a long life in Eretz Yisrael. A person who comes early to the shul, the Gemara says, mashkim and merim beis medrash deserves such a thing as well as in chutz laretz. Besides that, he's an individual who not only comes to shul, he continued learning Torah. Continued one of his chavruses over the course of all the years was Rabbi Garber. Like his mother should be well. Rabbi Garber, of course, is Rabbi Kahn's father-in-law, and they were very close friends all the way back to their days in Kamenetz. Where Rabbi Zelig would say, in Kamenetz, he would say, that, more or less the way he would say it, that they were, for years and years they would learn together. But besides, part of Rabbi Zelig coming to shul, what that meant was, the shul was considered a base on Knesset, place of the Chai Yisrael gathered together. Zelig was, in terms of the man, of part of the Chevra. He needed to be involved with other individuals who loved to joke around with everybody, whether it be young, old, anyone, Jews, the Gentiles on the street. He'd walk by, he walked the shul at the end of his life. It got harder for him to walk, it would take him more time, so he would joke around with more people along the way. And really, he was such a tremendously good natured person, everyone wanted to be around him. And it's certainly worthwhile to have this evening dedicated in his honor. We have his daughter, his son-in-law, his Michelle, and Dan Rochelle Cohn, who are here with us, as well as some other family members. They just came in. We welcome them to Yezifro Bar. Fortunately, there's really no better way to honor his memory. We have with us Mori Rabbi, Aaron Koshley, who is one of the rare speakers who are able to combine having, let's say, Kol HaTorah Kula at his grasp, on his fingertips, to be able to combine that with not just having it at his fingertips, being able to analyze it in tremendous depth, yet at the same time, being able to do that and present that in a way which is able to somehow reach every tzibur which is around, whether it be to the 5-year-old girls in Beis Yaakov when he's speaking at a siddur party, to the greatest Talmidei Chachamim who are around, speaking in who knows how many languages, combined with Hasidus Shemaisalach, anything, any way which could relate the people to the tzibur which is around. Often Talmidei Chachamim sometimes could combine the knowledge, the lav dafka, the ability to relate it I have no doubt in my mind that everyone hearing of Eichon will be mesmerized by him, as I'm sure we've all heard it before, and we know that so well. And in regards to the topic he's speaking about the topic of Mashiach. The person who lived the life of Rav Zelig, as we mentioned before, it's quite obvious by the parents the need for a Mashiach. It was when they're living in terrible suffering, and Baruch Hashem, Zayin Hara, we live in relative comfort. It's sometimes more difficult for us to realize that, to realize the need for a Mashiach. We have to think of a second more, we realize we certainly do need it. But the goal of tonight is to make us aware that we do need it, to make us long for it, to long for a Mashiach, to which the Gemara tells us, Chazal, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Tehillim, Lule saros vashash, shuai ozavati b'yani, were not for your Torah, I'd be lost in my sorrows, lost in my troubles. I think I actually once heard this idea originally from Eichon. I hope I'm saying it right, and remember. But the question is exactly, what is it about Torah which otherwise I would be lost in my sorrow, lost in my troubles? Seemingly, if the Chatajab, just we need a diversion, we need to think about something else. Yes, Torah is a very, very good diversion. It keeps one involved very deeply, very in something else. But if you think of it in those terms, it just simply means if all it is an escape. It's an escape from reality, if one thinks of it in those terms. But I think one could say a little bit deeper that Torah itself provides the antithesis of whatever the sorrows are. It creates an ideal world, an ideal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, that he wants, the world which, according to Torah, according to Ratzon Hashem, everything which is lacking without a Mashiach is the world, which is the world which we cannot, which is not through Torah. The world of a Mashiach is the world of Torah. And when we learn any amount of Torah, with the Bavakano, the Rinyavamis, the Mitzvah, any Torah, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his ideal vision of the world. But how much more so when we're learning a topic, going directly to the Inyan, when we're learning a topic of Mashiach itself, what life will be about at that point, and longing for it, how much more so that makes that concept so much more vividly in our mind. It takes us out of our present reality, which could have within it suffering and not being so ideal, not being so perfect, and instead creates for us, it puts within us the eternal bliss, the living of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate of a perfect world. Okay, we've waited too long already, Bahal Pishi Yismameya, without further ado, in many senses of the word, I call upon an Aaron Pasli.
Harry, all I can say is Ashrei Yoladitai. Reb Chaim is such a gem. Such an unbelievable gem. You know the pasuk that he just mentioned. Lulei sarascha sha'ashuai. The word sha'ashua appears a number of times in the Torah, in Tanakh. And it means a plaything. We speak about something that you delight in, that you enjoy, because it gives you great pleasure. I think we could say that the Ribbono Shel Olam did something for Klal Yisrael. And this is the parsha of Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Torah which is infinite, the blueprint in the creation of the universe, and he gave it to a basar vadam, to a finite and basically helpless being called man, and not to every man. But he lifts up a nation that he takes out of Mitzrayim, and he makes of them a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And to these people he gives the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shamayim, and the Malachim are hysterical. What is this man born of woman, this flesh and blood, doing here? He's coming to take the Torah to give it to Bnei Yisrael. What? This infinite blueprint of the universe? What connection could it possibly have to people who today are here and tomorrow in the grave? To people who are full of instincts, passions, akin to the animal. That, to that person who is man, you are going to give the Halakha Torah, this infinite cosmic thing called Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, never mind. Lulei Sarosh HaShashuai, they came out of the biggest Gehenna. And they came with an incredible Koyach. And they established and re-established Torah with that incredible Koyach on these shores. These desperate, weak, helpless human beings. Where did they get that Koyach from? Where did they get the Koyach to start all over again? From scratch, from nothing. Where did they get the Koyach to build all these Moistos HaTorah? To re-establish yeshivas? To bring Torah into a world that was barren? To bring Shabbos back to a world of Mechalalei Shabbos? To recreate a universe? Where did these weaklings, these desperate and helpless people who lost everything, who spent years in exile, whose families were exterminated, where did they get that strength? And the answer is in this pasuk. Onyi means my poverty, my suffering, my desperation. There are sometimes that are people that are in a bad situation, but that does not yet reach the level of Onyi. Zachor Onyi Umerudi. Onyi means a level of being bereft, of being so totally desperate, that there seems to be, l'cha'ora, on any normal human logical sense, no hope, no future. There is no window. There is no exit. And in that situation, in that circumstance of Hitler and Auschwitz, the concentration camps and the Gehenna of Siberia, you come out and you build and you create and you accomplish and you recreate the world. How do you do that? How does the person who is about to perish, Ozavadati Ba'onyi, how does he ever come out of that to be able to create that new world? But the answer is, the Torah is his plaything. Why? What's the connection? Because when you take a Torah, you have to ask a very interesting question. Nuclear physics. The physics of the cosmos. The physics of the atom. Of the subatomic. Quantum mechanics. What do you know about it? What do you know about it? Not much. And when someone tries to explain it to you, you get past page 2 maybe, and then we throw in the towel. Now imagine a person who just finished high school. And maybe he's a bright fellow. And he decides, you know what, I'm going to skip college, university, graduate school. I'm going to the Princeton Institute of Advanced Studies. And I'm going to join the group there that's studying all of these very, very peculiar and esoteric things that have funny names to them, and that these tremendous machines somewhere in Switzerland are bosoning. They're bosoning left and right. This boson and yen a boson, it's not a bison, it's a boson. So what is that? A meshugada. He's going to go to a place, he needs 20 years of intense study and preparation before he can even begin to understand a mashuhu, a little bit of what they're talking about. The Torah is infinite, and yet it belongs to the 5-year-old boy, Ben Chamesh Lemikra. The Ribbon Shalom created a miracle. He said every single Jew has a connection to this infinite thing. As brilliant as it is, as complicated as it is the turf, it is the matter of the Vilna Gaon, of Rabbi Akiva Eger, of the greatest of the great, of the most brilliant of our Talmidei Chachamim in all the generations. Did you ever open up a Dibros Moshe, a sefer that explains the Gemara according to the understanding of the Gadol Hador Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, L'chayei Olam Haba? Did you ever open it up? Did you ever go through anaf after anaf, chapter after chapter, branch after branch, and all of a sudden your head begins to spin because you can't really keep it all together the way he did? And he's teaching me, and he knows it already, and he's explaining it to me. I'm not discovering it, I'm being led. Nevertheless, Afal Pi Kein, it's so difficult because there's so much there and it's so all-encompassing. And yet the same person is teaching his little child. You know, there was a story going around in those circles where Reb Zeller came from, that there was a fellow who didn't know anything. He was what we call an Am HaAretz. But he had a love for Torah. And he also liked a little covered, I guess. So he wanted the very best bocher in the yeshiva for a son-in-law, and he could pay for it. He could support it in style. So he came to the Rosh Yeshiva, and of course he can't choose himself. He doesn't know one bocher from the other. So he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, Rosh Yeshiva, I trust you that you will find for me a gem, like such a Reb Chaim over here. To find for me a gem. And the Rosh Yeshiva says, I have just the person for you. The biggest Talmud Chacham in the whole yeshiva. He is definitely going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. And they make the Shidduch, everybody's happy. One day, half a year or so later, and this younger man, this son-in-law, is sitting by the Gemara. And the father-in-law happens to be passing by. So father-in-law looks, he sees an open Gemara. It's all Greek to him. So he asks him, what is this? What are you learning today? And he says he's learning Baba Kama. Father-in-law suddenly turns white, and then green, and then yellow. And he starts screaming, Mekach Toz, he cheated me, he fooled me. What are you talking about? What's going on? Who's cheating you? What happened all of a sudden? He says, your brother-in-law, my little son, who's 9 years old in Cheder, is learning Baba Kama. And that's the incredible thing about Torah. Torah has the ability to be learned on the level of a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old, the most brilliant and the most simple. And they're all given a chance in the Torah. And the fact that the Torah is infinite and that it's the blueprint of the world, it really is given to man. It almost doesn't make a difference who the man is, whether it's the Vilna Gaon or anyone else. Because man is man, and infinite is infinite. The fact that I can take the Torah, and not just that, that I can play with it, that I can enjoy it, that I can maneuver it, manipulate it, argue, contrast, I become a player, I become a balabas over Torah. That is possible? That the infinite in my hands is like putty? That I can shape and model like clay? How could that be? And that sense of the human capacity of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into our hands has given us incredible hands. It's given us incredible strength. It has given us a certain vitality that transcends every possible circumstance, no matter how horrible it is. When Tayrotzko Ishashuai, we discover ourselves. We discover that we have this incredible koach. And that koach gives us the strength to carry on and to persevere in the worst of circumstances. And that's what makes the Jew eternal. I had no intention of saying this, actually. But you brought it on. And I think that was Reb Zelig Weiss's word. And that's really the truth of all those people who came and all these survivors from all different surroundings and climates and environments, even those people who weren't from, but they carried with them that gene of Lulei Seros Vashashua. And it came out later sometimes in their descendants. I wanted to talk about this topic because I was asked to speak in the parasha of Yisrael, which is the parasha of Matan Torah. What does Mashiach have to do with Matan Torah? So, normally it would be a stretch, but we have a source called the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Kohen. And what he says, besides that it blows our mind, is so totally connected, because the whole union of Mashiach is in the very first of the Aseres HaDibros. Where is it in the Aseres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avod. Listen to the words of the Smak in his own language. He says as follows. You know that when a person is nifta, Rava says it in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph in Masechta Shabbos, very famous Gemara. A person is ushered into judgment in the next world, in the world to come. And they ask him questions. It's very interesting. Even before the judgment begins on all of his activities here on earth, hopefully for the good, before the prosecutor gets a chance to start, and before the defendant even sits down to listen, they ask him three questions just as he enters into the courtroom. What are those three questions? So the first thing is, did you deal with integrity? Were you honest? Did you have honest business dealings? Did you appoint times for studying Torah? Did you set aside times to study Torah every single day? Did you seek to have children? The Maharsha, by the way, interestingly enough, because of the expression of the Gemara, a sect of the Pirkei Rivia says something fascinating. He says that the question is not about having children, it's about caring about other people that they should have children, which includes, of course, talking shidduchim, because without the shidduch, you don't have the baby. So they ask him, did you care that others should have children? And then they ask him, did you anticipate the salvation of Klal Yisrael, of the world? See, peace to Yeshua. Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole pamphlet with that expression. See, peace to Yeshua. Did you anticipate, did you expect, did you hope for the Geula Shlema? Says the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, Mitzvah Aleph. He says as follows. Ubazeh toluy masha omu chachomim Shabbos daf lamed aleph sheshoalim lo odom la'acha misa b'shas dinoy tzipiso liyeshua. Now he says, if you're asking somebody, did you learn Torah? Because there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. So if you're asking somebody, if you're honest, it's because the Torah quite a number of times tells you that you must be honest in business. Where does it say that you're supposed to anticipate the Yeshua? That they should ask you the question and you have to be able to answer yes. So this is what he says. V'heichon kosuv mitzvah zu. Where is it written that you should look for Mashiach, that you should wait for the Geula? El shmamino bazet holu. It's right here. Shekishen sheyeshlo lahamim shotzionu mimitzrayim divsiv anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha v'gomer va'al korchen me'achar shehu dibur hachi ka'amar kishem she'ani rotze she'ta'aminu bi she'ani hotzeisi eschem kach ani rotze she'ta'aminu bi she'ani Hashem Elokechem v'ani osid l'kabetz eschem u'lehoshiachem. He says, it lies in the words of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, that took you out of Mitzrayim. In the same way that I took you out of Mitzrayim, and you're supposed to believe that and appreciate my strength and my ability to take you out of that horrible situation, so you have to believe that I will take you out of that other horrible situation, which is Golus, which is exile, and bring you to the Geula Shlema. To be very frank with you, at first blush, I didn't understand what he wants. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim means we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. It's a past tense thing. It happened, and it's been taught to us generation after generation. and we are obliged to repeat it every single day that we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and once a year to reenact it, recreate it, and speak about it at length and all kinds of details on the night of the Seder, and that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Where is there even the remotest remnant of the future and our responsibility to feel that the same thing is going to happen again? Of course, as part of the belief that Hashem could do it, fine, because that lies in the fact that Hashem is Kol Yochel. But why is it rooted in the words of Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and where do we see that that will actually lead to a Geula? And I was wondering about this, to be frank with you, it didn't allow me to sleep. I mean that quite literally. What does the smach want? And then I had a thought, which, I mean, it's a cosmic thought. It's a revolutionary thought. The Rambam repeats the statement in the Mishnah in Maseches Psachim, that in every generation a person is supposed to feel that he came out of Mitzrayim. Rambam's Loshen Kul Yotza. Ato, he came out right now, Mishivik Mitzrayim. Now the question is, what does that mean? Every generation. Every generation all day long, every generation all the time, or every generation once a year at the night of Pesach. Everybody interprets it means every generation, but the night of Pesach, once a year. I have a very strong feeling, based on the language of the Rambam further, that it means every single day, it means 24-7, 365 days a year. It's an attitude, it's an understanding and a comprehension of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I felt, and I've written about it, and this is not something that is new to me. Interestingly enough, the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe writes in the Tanya, "B'chol dar v'dar u'b'chol yom v'yom chayav adam liras esatzma kibu yotzam in Mitzrayim." He says it black and white. B'chol yom v'yom. Every single day. Now I was thinking, why is that? Why should we think that we are coming out of Mitzrayim every single day? The answer, first of all, is Hakaras Atov. The gratitude that you have for something depends on how you feel about it right now. You know the famous expression, "What did you do for me lately?" Never mind yesterday. What did you do for me yesterday is not enough. What are you doing for me right now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us out of Mitzrayim. That requires tremendous gratitude, even now, if we feel that we're coming out of Mitzrayim. If we're coming out of Mitzrayim, we're on the way to receive the Torah. That's a completely different understanding of our commitment to Torah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us out of Mitzrayim, there are many other aspects. But then, after learning this smach, I came to a very, very interesting awareness, a new dimension in that idea that every single day we feel we're coming out of Mitzrayim. That Yetzias Mitzrayim is not finished. That's Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's what the smach is talking about. Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, Mitzvah Aleph. He's saying, in other words, imagine the following. I do everything for you and I dump you in the Midbar. No, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yeah, it is Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are no more Mitzrim. The Egyptians are gone. The terror of the enslavement is over. But where are they? No, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished the job, did he not? Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu finish the job when he brought Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael? All right, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't succeed, but Yehoshua does it. 14 years, Sheva Shekipshu, Sheva Shechiltu, 7 and 7, finally they have Eretz Yisrael. Now, you'll ask me, but what happened with the 10 tribes, and what happened who were exiled by the Assyrians, what happened with the others who were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians? Well, that's called Mipnei Chato'enu Golinu Me'artzenu. That's the next step in history because we are unfortunately not worthy. We didn't fulfill the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the promise of Yetzias Mitzrayim was complete. And what happens afterwards is a separate stage in history called Golos. If that would be true, then I don't think you could derive anything from Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The answer is it's not true. Yetzias Mitzrayim is to create a nation that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thereby transforms the world in a very unique way. And the journey out of Mitzrayim is still upon us. And we are perpetually coming out of Mitzrayim. B'chol v'adar v'chol yom v'yom chayav v'adam liras es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza atzmo min Mitzrayim. Because until the Geula Shlema, the agenda of Yetzias Mitzrayim has not come to an end. Until the whole world is transformed by the presence of the knowledge of Hashem on the part of Klal Yisrael, and until all of those things that the Rambam describes, which I hope we'll have a chance to look at for a moment, that is not yet the end of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Votzeisi eschem mitachas siblos Mitzrayim, v'itzalti eschem ma'avodosam v'ga'alti eschem, v'zron netuyot shvatim don, v'kachti eschem lilov," right? V'heveisi. That the Heveisi doesn't mean the first time around, and then Golos, and then again in the time of Ezra, and then again Golos, until finally it means the Yetzias Mitzrayim is to an ultimate Heveisi. Just like Volokachti is final, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu took B'nai Yisrael to Har Sinai, that is forever, so too coming into Eretz Yisrael is forever. And the Golos aberration and all that comes with it is only temporary. Because ultimately, Yetzias Mitzrayim comes to an end. It comes to an end with the Geula Shleima, with Yemos HaMashiach. That's why the belief of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim demands that we believe that it will come to an end with Yemos HaMashiach. And that, I believe, is what the Smak meant when he said these words. Kishem shani rotze shetaminu bi, shani otseisi eschem, kach ani rotze shetaminu bi, shani Hashem lekeichem, v'ani osid lekavitz eschem loshiachem. Why? Why is one belief contingent upon the other? The answer is because that's the definition of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that I will take you out. And therefore, it is in fact the source for the question, see, peace on the Yeshua. Now, I wanted to add one more thing. Every one of us davens Shemona Esrei during the week. We have Es Tzemach David. In the end of Es Tzemach David, it says Ki Mishu Ascha Ki Vinu Kol Hayom. Yes. In Nusach Sfar, they add a couple of words Umitzapim Li Yeshua. But everyone says Ki Yishuascha Ki Vinu Kol Hayom. Yeah? There was a whole discussion amongst Rabbonim many hundreds of years ago as to whether we should say Ki Yishuascha Ki Vinu Kol Hayom or Kol Yom. That little hey was making trouble. The letter hey, Hayom. Why? Because some of them felt that this is a mistake, because Hayom means today. Like Hayom, right? We say Hayom by Sfiras Homer. Hayom, Shiva Yom, Shein Shavuah. Hayom, today. Kol Hayom means today. Today, but not tomorrow, not yesterday. We are obliged to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua and the capacity and potential of Mashiach coming at any moment. Bapa Pishi is Mamea Chakelo, so we wait for him. And therefore, it should be Kol Yom, every day, not every today. Because every today, sounds like today, yes, maybe tomorrow, not. So come along a number of Sfarim, the Farshim, and they say, not a problem. Because if you look at the way the word Hayom, Kol Hayom, is in Tehillim, where this phrase comes from, Kol Hayom, you see, it means all the time. And so the Radak says, 6 or 7 times in Tehillim, in different sukkim, where they have the phrase Kol Hayom. So it's not a problem to say Kol Hayom. That's the end of the story. I have a different problem with Kol Hayom. What does Kol Hayom mean? What is Kol Hayom? Kol Hayom.
The entire day.
The entire all day long. If you want to say every day, what do you say? Kol Yom, interestingly enough. Their worry was that Kol Yom means today only. So they proved that it doesn't mean today only. But you know, I feel that Kol Yom means something else. It doesn't mean today, it means all day long. That hey causes us a lot of, it requires a lot of understanding. Let me ask you a question. We're all tzaddikim here, every last one of us. We are. But we are. Like, what? Why should we be here when we could be doing something else? Like sleeping. I don't know what else. I don't even want to mention what else. But whatever it is, the fact that we are here is a proof that we are all tzaddikim. So let me ask you a question. Do you really think about Mashiach 24 hours a day? No, seriously. Kol Hayom, that's what we do, Kol Hayom. The strangest thing. We don't even think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, it reminds me there was the Misnagdim were at the very, I don't know if this story is true, maybe totally apocryphal, but they say that the Misnagdim took the Baal Shem Tov to task and they challenged him that he's going around acting like he's a miracle worker, like he's, you know, he's capable of seeing into people's minds and reading their thoughts and of course this is not possible, there's no Nevuah today, and he's just lording it over people and making them feel that he's superior to them, and that's why they are entitled to change all kinds of customs and this. They had a whole arsenal of arguments, and it boiled down to the fact that the Baal Shem Tov is acting like somebody who's very holy and very transcendent. So they took him to trial, and they said, well, you know, they say that you walk around reading people's minds and telling them what's on their minds. What are they thinking at that moment? So this fellow, this Misnagdim, who's prosecuting him, so to speak, is asking him, well, if you're so smart and you know all these things, what am I thinking right now? So the Baal Shem Tov, according to this story, answers instantaneously, you are thinking that Hashem fills the entire universe. Aha! That's not what I was thinking. He says, if you don't think that all the time, where do you have the right to prosecute me? So we are thinking about Mashiach all the time. All right, if we stub our toe, if we have a problem, if we worry about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, maybe we say it's time for Mashiach to come. That's true. But is it Kol Hayom? Is this a preoccupation? So how do we explain that? So I want to make a suggestion. And I think that is such a critical point and very relevant to us, very practical. I'm going to use an analogy that everyone can appreciate. There is, in the incredible Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the concept of color. Color. Look at this parochus. Now imagine a person looking at this parochus who's colorblind. The rods and cones in his eye are not working properly. Now imagine for a moment that he was colorblind from birth. Doesn't know anything else. You try to describe to him a sunset. You describe the patterns here, the gold, the silver, the colors that change. Brown, beige, and the blending of colors and the contrast of colors. He doesn't know what you're talking about. There's no sunset. It's all black, white, and gray. That's all it is, all the time. Imagine if, chas v'shalom, a person had perfect eyesight. And something went wrong in the middle of his life. And he lost the ability to see color. Baruch Hashem, he's not blind. But the time was taken out of life. The whole marrow, that joy to see a sunrise or a sunset, or to see the baby blue eyes of his grandson, and on, to see the way the Kinneret changes colors. It's just something that he's lost forever. And his life is darkened. His life becomes gray. And that person yearns, not in the acute, active, and constant way that there's nothing else going on in his life, because he has a job, and he has a family, And he has moments of joy and excitement. And there may be even occasion when he doesn't have a focus on this. But when he pauses for a moment, it comes right back to him. Because his life is missing something. That is the pshat of anticipating Mashiach and waiting for Mashiach. People make a terrible mistake when they think that waiting for Mashiach is like a thing out there. Amongst the many mitzvahs that I have, one of my mitzvahs is to wait for Mashiach. Waiting for Mashiach means that I know that now I'm not the Seder. It's not quite right. Things don't fit. I don't belong here. I don't belong in America. I belong in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael belongs to a world that is filled. You want to know what Mashiach is? You know, want to know what the difference between seeing color and seeing black and white? The Chazal asked, where did the Torah give it? Where was it given? Where does the Torah come from? Har Sinai. Where is Har Sinai? In the desert. In Eretz Yisrael? No, outside of Eretz Yisrael. What happens every time we open up the Aron Kodesh? What happens? We sing, we say, Ki Nitzion Teitze Soros Var Hashem Yerushalayim. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Bet. Well, make up your mind. Is it from Tzion that Torah comes? Or is it from the Midbar that Torah comes? From Har Sinai. Which is it? The answer could be that in Tzion there's the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin that gives out the Horah to the whole world, which we don't have anymore. And that Sanhedrin was adjacent in the Mikdash, adjacent in the Lishkas Hagozis, and they are Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. We'll have it next Parsha in the Rashi. And that Sanhedrin is Kinitzion Teitzei Sora. But I believe that the simple pshat is very different, because you have to look at the context of the Pasuk. Why is it called Sinai? Does anyone remember the famous Chazal that explains the word Sinai, which is connected to hatred? Sinai? Because when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Bnei Yisrael the Torah, the rest of the world hated us. It's the beginning of the ultimate anti-Semitism that has no rhyme or reason and no explanation. They hate us because we are the chosen people. That's why they hate us. In fact, they could hate us if we are in their country or not in their country. In Japan, they hate us. There are no Jews in Japan. They hate us anyhow. When we're down and out, they hated us in Auschwitz. They hated us for dying, they hate us for living, they hate us for breathing, they hate us for stopping to breathe. They hate us for making them feel guilty, and they hate us, and the reason that they feel guilty is because they kill us all the time. They are expecting us to be the only true Christians, to turn the other cheek, and when we don't, they say that we are mercilessly torturing the Palestinian Nevis. And this sinner came from Matan Torah. Mishom Yorda Sina Lu'uma Sa'olam Al Yisrael. You know what Kinitzion Teitzei Torah represents? Let's take a look at that parsha in Yeshayah. It's going to come a time Ba'achris Hayomim, in the end of days, says the Pasuk. And what will happen? Nochon Yir HaBayis HaZeh. It says, V'nohar Ru'elov Kol HaGoyim, all the Goyim will stream. Where will they stream to? El Har Hashem. They'll say, L'chuv v'nal El Har Hashem El Beis Elokei Yaakov. And interestingly enough, they describe Har HaMoria, the Har of the Beis HaMikdash, as the mountain of the God of Yaakov. How come? What happened to Avram and Yitzhak? But the answer could be that Avram could mean, well, there's a Yishmael, so it's my mountain too. Al-Quds. It's my mountain too. If it's Yitzchak, it could be Esav, Rome, the church. But if it's Elokei Yaakov, that means they acknowledge it's not ours, it's only yours. And they want to go up into that place, which is only ours. And why? For Yoreinu Midrachot, because we want the Jews to teach us how to live. We want the Jews to make us understand the profundities of life. We want to be able to come closer to Hashem, and we know that they hold the key. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soro Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That is the end of that pasuk. The difference between Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soro and Shom Yorda Sinol Umas HaOlam Eilu is the difference between the darkness of our suffering and the incredible light of Malach HaAretz Deyos Hashem. Because there's going to come a time when the same Roman who was flaying Rabbi Akiva and ripping the skin from his head and torturing him to death, that Roman's descendant will stream to the descendants of Rabbi Akiva to ask them, show us the way, show us the light. And I believe that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Rabbi Akiva, who was the great man in Bar Kokhba, and it was a failure, it was a disaster. And the belief in Mashiach, says the Rambam, does not require miracles. It requires that the person should be extraordinary. By the way, I just want to tell you something. The Mashiach that Bar Kokhba was supposed to be, what were the simanim? What were the indications? So was he a very strong person? Yes. Very powerful? Yes. A leader? Yes. Is that enough? Absolutely not. For a person to be what is called Becheskas Mashiach, till he builds the Beis HaMikdash, till he's Mekabetz Kol Klal Yisrael, he has to prove that he's done something. What has he done? He's fought and waged battles successfully, physical battles, and decimated the enemy. Now let me tell you something about Bar Kokhba before I finish the sentence of Ki Mitzion Tetzisoro. Bar Kokhba was an extraordinary general. And to such an extent was he capable that after the debacle of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, some 70 years before, whatever, and after all of the crisis that the Jews went through, he managed to rally them around his flag, the Yidden, to such an extent that they became an incredibly potent force. And in the initial battles that they waged, this isn't like the Maccabim, that one person is up against the elephants. He had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and they wiped out one Roman garrison after another. They just fought the enemy and won one battle after another. Ad kidei kach, that the Romans marshaled the Emperor Hadrian, he marshaled massive forces from all over the Roman Empire. They were called up. They weren't reserves. They were already in their military outposts. But he said, leave the outposts and come to Palestine. Because you have to fight this Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba is wiping us out. There are those who suggest, and this is not something that you find in the Gemara, this is something that you find in the writings of the Roman generals and the Roman historians. And they write that Hadrian amassed between a third and a half of his entire military force all over the world. You know Rome? This is what was going up. And they were not even then successful. So what they did was, writes this Roman historian, they decided to go on a different campaign. It was basically a terrorism campaign. They went from village to village and they wiped out the village. Men, women, and children. The men were fighting. They were soldiers. They were with Bar Kokhba. They wiped out the women and the children, one village after the other, and they really demoralized the people. And because of that, there was already a weakening of resolve. And finally, everybody knows, they ended up in Beitar, and Beitar was wiped out completely, and Bar Kokhba was killed. But this was not a Mashiach that sits somewhere in an office. And this is a Mashiach that fights battles, real battles, and conquers the enemy. And when Rabbi Akiva saw that was the case, he was carrying his Mashiach's arms. He was his arm bearer. He was his servant. Because he believed that he was Mashiach. Says the Rambam, when did he discover that he was not Mashiach? When he was no longer, when he failed. But he had to do all of these things. And the Rambam says, you don't have to perform miracles. You don't have to perform miracles. He learns that the Gemara that speaks about how he has incredible capacity to judge, that he doesn't need witnesses, because he knows the truth just by looking at the people. So the Rambam apparently learned that that's a certain kind of insight and intuition. It's not miraculous. Other Mefarshim disagree with the Rambam. And they say, Moirach V'doyin, he has this sense of smell that's able to discern. This is only a divine thing, and this is proof that he has an incredible Ruach HaKodesh and Koach HaNevuah, and he does miracles, etc., etc. But be that as it may, the person who is Mashiach has to prove that he's Mashiach by doing things. And then you trust in him. And when you trust in him, then you see what happens next. If he succeeds in doing all the things Mashiach is supposed to do,
then of course it's Yemos HaMashiach. So if he fails, you know that you made a mistake. Now this Rabbi Akiva, the same Rabbi Akiva, after Bar Kokhba is gone, and they've captured him, and they have tortured him, and he's about to die. How did he die? What was on his lips when he died? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yotza Nishmosa Be'echad. You know what I understand from that? Incredible thing. Rabbi Akiva was dying, and it was the worst time in Jewish history until the Holocaust. Until the Holocaust, that was the worst time in Jewish history. No other time before or after could match that moment of total despair, of the churban of everything. Again, Lulei Saros Chashashuif wouldn't be Vayavne V'chachomel. But that was the worst time in Jewish history. What was Rabbi Akiva saying? How do we understand the words that we say, Shema Yisrael? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How do we understand that? Look at Rashi on the Pasuk in Parshas Eschanan. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Achshav, meaning he's ours, but they don't recognize it. Not the way they should. Because if they would, then it would be Mitzium, they'd say Torah, not Yod HaSin Ulus HaOlam Al Yisrael. But what will happen in the future? Hashem Echad. When will that happen, says Rashi? V'olu Moshim Ba'atzion Mishpo Tesareisa V'oysel Hashem Ha'melucho V'hoya Hashem L'melech Al Kol Ha'aretz Ayom Ahu Hashem Echad. So Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad represents the transition from all those moments that began from Sina of the Umos Ha'olam Aleinu, which culminates in this incredible moment of tragedy where Rabbi Akiva's skin is flayed off of his skull. And he says then and there, never mind, this is not the end of the story. This is not the story that ends Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is still going on. And where is it headed? What is its vector? Where are we going? Says Rabbi Akiva, as he is about to perish. As his neshama is about to leave him. What is on his mind? That even with the failure of Bar Kokhba at his heels, even with the thought that Golus might continue for thousands of years more, who knows? But we are on the march towards Hashem Echad from a moment of Hashem Elokeinu. And Hashem Elokeinu is not enough. There has to be Hashem Echad. And if Hashem Echad is going to happen, it's only one way that it's going to happen. And that's what we call Yemos HaMashiach. And if we have to wait, we'll wait. But one day, this Roman will not flay my skin anymore. He'll come and he'll ask me, Rabbi Akiva, teach me Torah. Show me the way. Inspire me. And that is Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. When we are aware that we are still in the middle of the thing, in medias res, as they say, if we are still in the middle, then we have a certain responsibility to help it along, but at the same time we have a certain confidence. And so I wanted to finish and tell you a thought that I had about Reb Zelig and all those who suffered so much. You have to understand something. You said it exactly right. How did he survive? 6 years in Siberia. That's how he survived. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. I used it in conjunction with my father, who went through much worse. Hareini kaparas mishkovo, and was nifter 3 months ago. And at the Levaya, I mentioned this pasuk. The pasuk calls the person Ish Emunos, Rav Bruchos. Ish Emunos, the man of not faith, but faiths with an S at the end, in the plural, Emunos. And I asked a simple question, there's only one Emunos. Do you believe in many things, in many forces? What is this, Ahura Mazda Naharima? This is Shintov? What do you mean Ish Emunos? What is Emunos in the plural? It's a very good question. The answer is, sometimes the Emunah that I had yesterday isn't enough for tomorrow. Reb Zelig went through Gehenna. But he had to leave home and heart. He was already in Gehenna. When he had to worry about whether he'll ever see any member of his family again, he was in Gehenna. And then he comes to this wonderful place called Siberia. And he's tested. Now that you are here in this bigger Gehenna, in the next level of Gehenna, What do you say now, Reb Zelig? How do you feel about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do you believe in him? Do you believe in a merciful Hashem? Do you believe that Hashem exists? Maybe this moment has already stripped away that sense and that confidence and that awareness. And maybe now it's time not to have Emunah anymore. And how did Reb Zelig respond? He became an Ish Emunos. He became a person that every time he got a patch, every time he got a zetz, every time there was another blow, another crisis, another tragedy, he says, I believe in Hashem even more. And that's what gave them that strength that I was talking about. And you can only have that if you're a Jew. You can only have that if you're a person who is inherently and umbilically connected to the Ein Sof, because you were at Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made out of you a Mamlechus Kohenim V'Goy Kodesh, and he gave you that infinite Torah that is Toros HaShashuai. So he became an Ish Emunos. And the Ish Emunos, wherever he is, becomes a source, a generator, a cauldron, a crucible to convey that Emunah to everybody around him. And that is really true of all those people who survived and gave over. They didn't just give over Torah. They didn't just give over the authenticity of the level of learning of a Kamenitz and of a Baranovich. What they gave over is that you can go through the worst circumstances, but look, we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is Ki Lishu Oscha Ki Vinu Kol Hayom. To know that wherever we are now, that things to be seem to be so nice and so good, and you could forget, and you could think, no, because everything is black, white, and gray. And we know that color is something else, and we don't have it yet. And when you know that, it could be Kol Hayom. Because no matter where you are and what you're doing, it's not an acute awareness, it's a latent awareness. It's not a consciousness that interferes with what you do. It's like a feeling that you have in the back of your mind and a pit in your stomach. You know something, things are just not right. And that is part of the anxiety of the Jew and the Jew's constant picking on himself, because he knows that it's packing not right. Because inherently, even the secular Jew, he may not even realize it, but in his genes is a notion that everything that I see now is black, white, and gray. But there is color waiting for me. And that is Kibushu Ascha Kibinu Kol Hayom. And that's Tzipiso in Yeshua. As a Hashem Yisbarach, with that constant, persevering preoccupation, latent and acute, day and night, conscious and subconscious, that we are awaiting the time of color. We should be zeicher that Mashiach should come in Mehera, and that the Gula Shleimer will bring that moment of Hashem Echad that Rabbi Akiva was whispering into the ear of the very Roman general that was killing him, and that we say every time when we say Shema Yisrael that Hashem Elokeinu will be Echad, the Vias Goyel Tzedek v'Mehera v'Yomeinu. Amen.
Will be rewarded in both worlds, but even more so in the next world. The meaning of the word yesh means it's the real thing, it's the metzius that's ongoing and eternal. The benefits we have in this world are not eternal, they're only temporary. In the next world, the 310 is the benefit that's forever. Amarab Shimon ben Chalakta, lo matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli matzik parach al Yisrael ela ha-shalom, jinema Hashem ozi ha-moyitein Hashem yirek al ha-shalom. That Hashem could not find a vessel to hold the bracha of Yisrael except for peace. So we know oz means Torah, and by learning Torah, the tzaddikim bring shalom. Hashem gives us Torah to learn so we should have peace in the world. By learning and finishing the Shisa Sidra Mishnah, the six books of the Mishnah, we bring peace to the world. Shalom is the kli, the vessel which brings bracha, blessing to Israel. Without shalom, we have nothing. Shalom gives meaning to all brachas we have in this world. It's appropriate that we finish the six books of the Mishnah with the concept of shalom. When we dive in Shmona Esrei, the last bracha speaks of shalom. The priestly blessing, the bracha Kohanim, ends with the message of shalom. And the Kaddish, which we say very often, unfortunately ends with Shalom. This is what we pray for all our lives, that there be peace in the world. Hadan Allah Sayyid Taharas Vishita Sidra Mesha Veda Vahadu Alan Datan Allah Sayyid Taharas Vishita Sidra Mesha Vedata Alan Lav Nitisha Mina Sayyid Tahara Vishita Sidra Mesha Lav Vala Nitisha Mina Lav Ama Hadem Lav Ama Daate Hadran Allah Sayyid Tahara Vishita Sidra Mesha Vahadrat Alan Data Alan Sayyid Taharas Vishita Sidra Mesha Vedata Alan Lav Nitisha Mina Sayyid Tahara Vishita Sidra Mesha Lav Vala Nitisha Mina Lav Ama Hadem Lav Ama Daate Hadran Allah Sayyid Tahara Vishita Sidra Mesha Vahadrat Alan Datan Allah Sayyid Tahara Vishita Sidra Mesha Vedata Alan Ladit Nishaminah said to Harav Shita Sidra Mishnah, Lapalad Nishaminan, Laba Ama Hadem, Laba Ama Da'ata. Harav Nadin Alhain, the Rector of Tabafino, Fiyaram Kabe Israel, Vinayah, Kulam, Anakhun, Tayazahinam, Tayazahinam, Kabe Israel, Kulani, the Eshamech, the Day Tavatech, Lishma, may I write to that many mitzvotech, Hili Olam Hili, Hili B, Tamim, Hukeka, Laman, Lo, Evosh, Laolam, Lo, Eshkat, Bikuzeka, Kibab, Kitai, Brokata, the Nine, Mundi, Kuzeka, Amen, 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 Salavad, Mundi, Lafanaka, the Nar, Elohai, Elohai, Watai, Shisamta,